You're standing in a bustling market in Bangkok. No local currency, no common language, yet you hand over a small plastic card and walk away with mangoes and street food. The vendor doesn't question whether your bank in Chicago will actually pay her. This everyday miracle, so ordinary we barely notice it, represents one of the most profound transformations in human commerce. Visa now processes roughly $4.8 trillion annually, handling 2,000 transactions every second across 200 countries. This isn't just convenient, it's revolutionary. When Warren Buffett invests in Visa for the long haul, he's betting on something deeper than profits. He's investing in the invisible infrastructure that makes modern life possible. The next time you effortlessly pay for coffee in a foreign country or make an online purchase from halfway around the world, pause for a moment. You're participating in one of humanity's most complex and successful technological systems, one that fundamentally changed how money moves and how we think about value itself. Before Visa, payment cards evolved chaotically. Western Union issued the first consumer charge card in 1914, a paper billing identifier. By 1928, Farrington Manufacturing created charga plates, embossed metal rectangles transferring account details onto carbon paper. Oil companies followed with courtesy cards that lost money but built fierce brand loyalty. Standard Oil of Indiana's 1939 mass mailing of 250,000 unsolicited cards solved the chicken and egg problem. Merchants wouldn't accept cards without customers, and customers wouldn't carry cards without merchants. Diners Club launched in 1949, charging merchants 6-7% and cardholders annual fees. In 1958, banks targeted middle-class consumers with revolving credit and no annual fees. Most failed banking regulations prevented interstate expansion. But Bank of America had California-wide scale, with relationships covering 60% of residents. Bank AmeriCard offered genuinely unsecured credit without bank visits, transferring power from banker to consumer. To drive adoption, Bank of America executed the drop, mailing 65,000 unsolicited cards to Fresno households. When competitors planned launches, Bank of America issued 2 million cards and signed 20,000 merchants in 13 months. This breakneck expansion caused 22% delinquency and $20 million in losses. Yet by May 1961, the system turned profitable. By the mid-1960s, Bank AmeriCard was thriving in California, but needed to expand beyond state lines. Bank of America created Bank AmeriCard Service Corporation to license the program nationwide, introducing interchange, the system enabling banks to settle transactions when cardholders and merchants use different banks. Competing banks formed cooperatives that merged into Interbank, later becoming MasterCard. Creating this seamless experience required decades of negotiation between competitors who had to cooperate enough to enable universal acceptance. By 1968, impressive numbers masked systemic collapse. 254 licensee banks, 6 million cardholders, 155,000 merchants, and $458.9 million in sales. But transactions required manual floor limit checks, authorization calls, and multi-layer sales drafts. Banks manually sorted these drafts while the Federal Reserve refused to handle credit card transactions, forcing banks to mail drafts directly to each other, creating nightmarish delays. Fraud exploded from $140,000 in 1967 to $2.2 million by 1969 as criminals exploited floor limits. Organizational tensions festered as Bank of America retained ownership of the Bank AmeriCard name and most power, creating deep distrust among licensees. In October 1968, a special meeting in Columbus, Ohio turned explosive when Bank of America failed to send senior officers. But one committee member had a radically different vision, D. Ward Hawk from Seattle National Bank of Commerce. Hawk was frustratingly complex. Inspirational, yet intimidating. Clairvoyant, yet aggravating. He developed a deep suspicion of traditional command and control organizations and instead conceived chordic organizations, self-organizing, self-governing systems harmoniously blending chaos and order. Hawk recognized something profound. Money had evolved into nothing more than guaranteed alphanumeric data, and banks were merely institutions for its custody, loan, and exchange. Your credit card represents one of the most complex organizational innovations in business history. With National Bank AmeriCard Inc. established, Hawk focused on operational problems. The primary task was establishing common rules to govern interorganizational work, settle disputes, and assess fees. NBI codified these into operating regulations, requiring members to contractually follow rules as they now exist or are hereafter modified. Hawk surrounded himself with people having complementary skills, particularly Chuck Russell, a bank operations expert who was practical, where Hawk was visionary. The regulations governed critical interactions. Fraud liability rules guaranteed transactions to merchants who followed regulations, transferring fraud liability from merchants to issuers. The fee structure determined economic dynamics, including the critical interchange reimbursement fee. The dispute resolution process provided fair methods for resolving disagreements between competing members. In April 1971, NBI launched its iconic Think of It as Money advertising campaign. For Hawk, an opportunity to communicate his ideas about money's nature directly to cardholders. Consider how remarkable this achievement was, creating a system where bitter competitors would cooperate, follow common rules, and trust a central organization to fairly resolve disputes. By 1971, authorization had become the critical bottleneck. Point-of-sale terminals could process requests in 7 seconds, but the system lacked nationwide integration. When all 13 vendor proposals for Bank AmeriCard Authorization System Experimental BASE failed in October 1971, Hawk made a bold decision. NBI would build it themselves in 9 months. The challenge? Establish a nationwide computer network, install terminals in all Bank AmeriCard centers, build a data center, develop 24/7 software, and staff a call center. BASE centered on a digital equipment corporation PDP 1145 mini computer in San Mateo, acting as a real-time switch for authorization requests. The design reflected Hawk's philosophy. Local centers maintained autonomy for local authorizations, while NBI handled only interchange services. Completed within the $3 million budget, BASE entered production on April 4, 1973, achieving full operation by May 1. It slashed interchange authorization time from 4 to 5 minutes to 56 seconds, while enabling 24/7 merchant authorizations. BASE 2 followed, replacing 95 million paper drafts annually with electronic clearing by transforming physical drafts into electronic records. Imagine building a nationwide computer network in the early 1970s when most banks still used paper ledgers. Between 1972 and 1976, NBI underwent three fundamental transformations. Though Bank AmeriCard had international licenses since 1966, Bank of America controlled these relationships while NBI managed domestic ones. In 1972, international licensees asked Hawk to create a global version. After 2 years of negotiation, iBanco formed in June 1974 as a for-profit Delaware corporation alongside national associations and banks. A legal challenge from Worthen Bank forced NBI to allow banks to join competing systems. In June 1976, NBI removed its exclusivity requirement, ushering in duality. Hawk's predictions proved correct. Most banks went dual within 6 months, no competing system arose, and innovation slowed. The Visa name solved critical branding issues. Bank AmeriCard was contentious domestically and unacceptable internationally. The redesign placed Visa in the center while allowing issuers to brand the top themselves. As transaction volume exploded, Visa switched to IBM's System/370 mainframe. Rather than using IBM standard systems, Visa implemented BASE 1 on the Airline Control Program, originally developed for American Airlines' Sabre reservation system, perfectly suited for high-volume, unpredictable transactions. This deliberate standardization transformed local payment systems into a worldwide network where cards work identically everywhere. By the late 1970s, Visa had automated authorization, clearing, and settlement, but merchants still manually processed transactions, allowing approximately $1 billion in annual fraud. In 1974, Hawk initiated Base 4, envisioning entirely electronic transactions from any device. Though never implemented, Base 4 profoundly influenced Visa's evolution by defining an endpoint and identifying necessary building blocks. To eliminate paper sales drafts, transactions needed to originate electronically at the point of sale. In the early 1970s, the American Bankers Association recommended magnetic stripes over optical encoding. Wynn Derman established Visa's encoding standard, adding a service code for interchange eligibility and a PIN verification value for offline verification. By 1979, Visa mandated magnetic stripes on all cards. With standardized mag stripes required, Frank Fojdick led development of POS terminals using merchants' existing telephone lines for under $500. From June 1980 to December 1981, Visa deployed 800 terminals. The pilot succeeded brilliantly. Authorization averaged 20 seconds, twice as fast as verbal authorizations with fewer errors. Crucially, participating merchants authorized every transaction rather than just 12 to 15%, dramatically reducing fraud. To drive adoption, Visa created the Terminal Interchange Reimbursement Fee, a special 1% rate, 20% lower than standard. Every time you swipe, tap, or insert your card, you're participating in a technological ecosystem that took decades to build. Visa has become so integral to daily life, it's invisible, like a water faucet or light switch. 40 years ago, Californians gathered to watch someone pay with a Bank AmeriCard. Today, we're annoyed when someone writes a check. But payment systems aren't neutral conduits. They operate by rules determining who pays for services, who bears fraud costs, and who controls those rules, inherently favoring certain groups. The 1960-70s revolution digitized standardized messages, allowing instant worldwide transmission. This enabled overnight clearing, dramatically accelerating value flow while reducing costs and allowing any organization maintaining accounts to potentially join regardless of geography or industry. From DHawk's chaotic organization to engineers who built Base in 9 months, from magnetic stripe standardization to the global network processing trillions, this is how cooperation between competitors, technological audacity, and organizational innovation created the invisible infrastructure of modern commerce.